and the power of his resurrection and the fellowship of his sufferings being made conformable unto his death. This is one of my favorite verses from the Bible. It's so powerful. So this was written by Paul the Apostle. And if we take a history of Paul, he was a Pharisee, and he's someone who learned the law under Gamaliel. And then later he had an encounter with Jesus. Jesus revealed himself to him, and then he started following the Lord. He started writing half of the New Testament. And it also says that's probably him who went to the third heavens, right? So someone who has so much knowledge and deep connection with the Lord still says that I may know him. What does he mean by that? What is exactly to know Christ? We don't really have time to go through the rest, the power of his resurrection and all that, but we're just going to focus on that I may know him. What exactly does Paul mean? What does the word of God mean when it says to know him? If I have to share my experience with you guys, I knew Jesus all throughout my life, ever since I was a kid, I was a Christian, and I grew up in a Christian household. I went to Sunday school, I did all of that. But the way I knew Jesus was different from how my mother knew, from how my father knew, my brothers knew. It was way different. And we all have our own story with the Lord, right? Everyone has their testimony and experience. My testimony is, my experience is, I grew up without a father. And there were so many issues in my family. My parents were separated. And because of that, I didn't really get the chance to spend time with my father, to know him, which means I lacked that relationship. And we all know that children, girls especially, who has no relationship with their fathers, they usually have identity issues. A lot of them do. But my mother, she's a great woman of the Lord. She gave me something. She told me this, Bridie, Jesus is someone who will always come and fill that spot in your life that's void. But no one else can. There might be relationships in your life, father, mother, son, brother, sister. They can only be filled by Jesus. No one else can. And no one else can take his spot. And that, you know, as a child, you're so innocent. You just grab that thing and I'm like, oh, wow. Which means Jesus is my father. And that's how I grew up throughout my life. Whenever I prayed, whenever, you know, as a kid, I never watched cartoons much, but I used to imagine all these villains coming and hitting me. And then I'd be like, oh, my Jesus is coming here to save me. Like, daddy's here. I used to do that stuff because I've put in my head now that he's my father. And because he's my father, it's easy for me to connect. Remember what Pastor Noel was preaching a few weeks. He was teaching us the Lord's Prayer. And it begins saying, Our Father in Heaven. Prayer is a communication with the Lord, right? But if you don't know who you are communicating to, you wouldn't know what to communicate either. So that's why Jesus says you begin with saying, Our Father in Heaven. You know who your daddy is, right? So coming back to Philippians 3:10, what exactly does the word know mean? And when I checked up on Google, know had two definitions. One was to be aware through observation, inquiry, or information. Basically, you just know something. You're aware or you see it and then you're like, oh, I know it. But the second one is to have a developed relationship with someone through meeting and spending time with them. And I'm like, huh, that is actually there's a depth to it, right? I didn't expect the word know to have that kind of a meaning. To have a developed relationship, not just a basic relationship, a developed relationship. What does that mean? You know, when you meet someone, you start talking to them, you like them, you start spending more time, and then you know a relationship is formed, right? For example, if I took Barry and Mary, like, I love you guys. You guys have great connection. A lot of you couples do too, but I'm just picking on them. You guys know each other so well. You love each other because you've been spending time a lot, right? That tomorrow, if one of us or anyone comes and says, you know, says something about either of you, you're going to be like, no, that's not true, because I know who my wife is. I know who my husband is, right? Where does that come from? That comes from knowing each other deeply. And if you have to use one word, that's called intimacy, right? So to know Christ means to have intimacy with him. Without having intimacy with someone, you cannot know who they are. You can know like, oh, this is that, but you won't know what their personality is, who they are as a person. Why do they do certain things? So you wouldn't know who Jesus is without being intimate with him. Amen. There's a parable in the Bible that Jesus talks about from Matthew chapter, I believe it's 13, Matthew chapter 13. We don't really have to go through it, but Matthew chapter 13 talks about a parable. Jesus talks about a parable where a farmer is going to sow seeds. Like, I believe all of you know this, but in case if there's anyone who doesn't, there's a parable in the Bible where Jesus says a farmer is going and he's sowing seeds. And some, they fall on the thorns, some they fall on the stony ground, and some fall on the good soil. We're just going to pick on the stony ground and the good soil. We all know the outcome. If you sow seeds in any of these, you know what is the product going to, you know which one is going to produce fruits, you know which is not going to. So stony ground, Jesus says, the seeds that fall on the stony ground, some of us, I don't want to say some of us, but people are, they come to church, okay, they attend church, they're all happy, happy, they jump, they receive the word of God. But once they walk out of that door, they have no clue what they received. When tribulations come, when troubles come, they have no clue what did they, where's Jesus, where's the faith? We come here and we're like, oh, faith can move mountains. We sing, if faith can move the mountains. But then when mountains come, we have no clue what to do. Why is that so? That's what Jesus talks about, the stony ground. If your heart is like the stony ground, it means you receive the word of God. But where are you receiving it? Where is it falling? It's falling in your mind. And anything that falls in your mind has no root. Right? And if there's no root, you know it's going to be stolen. If the enemy comes, he can steal it away from you. And then you start sinking. You have no clue what to do. Which means whatever falls in your mind is knowledge. And knowledge has no root. And there's no way, church, you can never walk your spiritual life on the basis of knowledge. Amen? Whereas the good soil, what is a good soil? How can you say that my heart is a good soil? A good soil is when your spirit is connected with the Spirit of God. You know, when you have connection with the Spirit of God, you start producing fruits. What does Jesus say? You know a tree by its fruit, right? So you know there's fruit coming out of you when your spirit is connected with the Spirit of God. So once you start producing fruit, why do you start producing fruit in the first place? It's because whatever you receive from the Lord is falling in your spirit, not in your mind, right? If it falls in your mind, it's knowledge, but what falls in your spirit is the revelation of Christ. Amen? And that's the second thing. You need to have intimacy with Jesus. To know him means to have intimacy. And second, it's to have revelation of who Jesus is. Can we go to Ephesians chapter 1, verse 17, please? It says that God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, I want you to focus on this, church, may give unto you the spirit of wisdom and the revelation in the knowledge of him. He talks about two things. One, the spirit of wisdom, and two, the revelation in the knowledge of him. And we're focusing on what? The revelation of who Christ is. So if you have the revelation in the knowledge of him, if you know who he is, if you have a revelation of who Christ is, can we go to the next verse, please? It says, first thing, if you had the revelation of who Christ is, the first thing that happens to you is your eyes of your understanding being enlightened. First thing, your eyes are opened. Your eyes are enlightened. Whatever is blinding you, whatever lies you have believed, what are the things that has been stopping you from seeing Christ? First thing, your eyes are enlightened. And second, that you may know what is the hope of his calling. When your eyes are opened, you know what is your calling. Can we also go to 2 Peter chapter 1 verse 10? It says, wherefore the rather, brethren, give diligence to make your calling and election sure. Remember, when you have the revelation of who Christ is, first, your eyes are opened. Second, you know what is the hope of your calling. But if we look at the Christian world today, a lot of them fall. Why? It's very unfortunate. A lot of us fall too. Why does that happen? Because you don't make your calling and your election sure. It says if you make your calling and your election sure, if you do these things, you will never fall. The Word of God says that. It's not from me. The Word of God says, if you hold on to these things, if you know what your calling is, you never fall. Amen? We go back to the Ephesians. So, if you have the revelation of who Christ is, the first thing that happens to you is your eyes are opened. And two, you have a hope of your calling. Next verse. And three, what the riches of the glory of his inheritance in the saints. Can we see the Passion translation of it, please? The spirit of wisdom and the spirit of revelation to know him through your deepening intimacy with him. Remember, we were talking about intimacy. We were talking about having a revelation of who Christ is. All of these things are connected. You cannot have Jesus revealed in your life. Jesus can come to you. I mean, Jesus can, of course, he's Jesus. But then if you want to have a deeper knowledge of who he is, first thing, you need to have intimacy with him. And when you have an intimacy with him, you have a revelation of who Christ is. And then when that happens, your eyes are opened. You know the hope of your calling. And three, you know that you're saints with him. We're not righteous because of our acts. We're not righteous because of the things that we do, right? We can try so much, but we still fail. But it's his righteousness. We are made righteous through him. Amen? So because we're made righteous through him, when you have that revelation that it's Jesus, then you know your saints. Then you know who you are in him. Can we just stand up, church? I just want to make the last point, which is that when you know who Jesus is, when you have intimacy, revelation of who he is, the third thing, when you have revelation of who Jesus is, the third thing that happens is you know your identity. You know who you are in him. Amen. Can you all say amen? Nice. Yeah, so you know your identity in him. A lot of times, that's exactly what the enemy comes to steal. Your identity. Why? In 1 John, it says, he who is born of God overcomes the world. What does it say? He who is born of God. Born of God means I am his child. If I am his child, I overcome the world. And what does the enemy come and tell you? Then no, you're not a child. He comes and put these lies inside you. The word of God says, you shall know the truth and the truth shall set you free. But if the truth sets you free and if you're not walking in freedom, that means you're walking in bondage. And if you're walking in bondage, what is the meaning? It means you've believed the lies, right? Truth sets you free, then bondage comes because of the lies. So I want you all to close your eyes. Take a minute. Just identify, where have you lied to yourself? Where have you taken the lies of the enemy? Have you spoken these lies over yourself, over your children, over your families? Do you see anyone in your family or yourself walking in any areas of your life in bondage? We have to break these things, amen? We've been coming to church all our life. You cannot still walk in bondage. So identify these areas in your life and speak the truth of the Lord. Release the truth of the Lord into these areas. Come on, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Jesus, we ask forgiveness, Lord, for speaking lies, Jesus, and for believing the lies of the enemy. God, we pray, Jesus, right now we know that you are the truth. The word of God says, you said that I am the way, the truth, and the life. So Father God, any lie that we have believed, Jesus, we break those, we ask forgiveness and we break those, and we release the truth of the Lord into these areas of our life. Jesus, we're believing we're going to see freedom in our children's lives, in this nation, in the cities, in our churches, in ourselves, God. Father God, we say we no longer choose to walk in bondage. Why? Because I have Jesus. We have Jesus who is the truth. And what does he do? The truth sets you free. Come on, start releasing that. Hushikara balara kamanara sika baba baba ba shere kelere kalara mamara kababa. You know, believing any lie leads you into bondage. Some of you here feel that, oh, we're just meant to come to church and just sit here, and that's all that our life is about. No, you have a ministry too. It might not be to come up on a stage and talk. It might not be singing, but you have a ministry too. There, in some or the other way, God wants to use you. You know what the word of God says in Matthew 21, I believe. Jesus tells the disciples, go ahead into the village that is in front of you, and there you're going to see a donkey who's tied. What does Jesus tell the disciples? Go untie that donkey and bring him to me. So I want you all, I'm not telling you guys are a donkey. I'm saying that if there are areas in your life that you have tied, you have to break those. Okay, you cannot wait for a pastor to come and lay hands and break or break and break. No, no, you got the authority. So start speaking that over yourself. Start breaking those bondages. You know why? Jesus tells the disciples, if anyone asks you why you need that donkey, tell him the Lord needs him. Come on. If Jesus wants to set you free, it's because he needs you. He wants to use you. And you need to have that knowledge that the Lord needs me. The enemy is going to come and tell you, no, 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 you're not worthy. He's done that to me too. He's told me, no, girl, you can't preach. You can't do this. You can't do this. But no, today we're breaking those lies. So come on, church. You got the fire. Bring down the fire. Jesus, we bring down the fire, God. And we pray that you would burn down, consume, Father God, every junk, Jesus, in our mind, in our body, in our flesh. We break it in Jesus' name and we release the truth of the Lord. Jesus, come down and stir within us, Lord. We need you, Jesus. We need you more, God. Thank you for what you're doing in our lives. Thank you for setting us free, and that is faith. We believe that he is done. So in faith we believe, in faith we pray, in faith we know what we've asked for, we receive it. So Father God, we thank you for doing this in our life. I thank you for the church. Bless the church, Lord. Help us to walk in freedom, Jesus. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen and amen and amen. Amen.